Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, Pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week, I'd like to continue addressing the Ukraine situation, not the geopolitical events or items in the news. But all of this talk we're hearing from Bible prophecy teachers about Russia and the biblical prophecies of Gog and Magog. Whenever Russia's in the news, prophetic teachers immediately make reference to these biblical prophecies about Gog and Magog coming down from the north to attack Israel. And there's a lot of kooky misinformation about this being spread on the internet, in prophetic books, in prophetic seminars. But hopefully in the next 25 minutes, I can shed some light on the fog and explain exactly what the Bible has to say about Gog and Magog. But before I get into this, I want to emphasize that this war in Ukraine is very serious. Even though there are no direct prophecies of this war in Scripture, this is a very significant event in the providence of God, setting the world stage for the end of this age. So don't discount these events in Ukraine or don't overlook them. As one political commentator said, what happens in Ukraine in the next 100 days will determine what happens in Europe over the next 100 years. Now, there is concern over this war among world leaders, but not to the degree there ought to be. Western leaders are still living in a world peace fantasy. At the emergency NATO meeting 2 weeks ago, there was a spirit of optimism. It looked like Ukraine had Russia on the ropes, that Putin would be looking for a way to bow out gracefully. There were peace talks going on in Turkey between Ukraine and Russia. And Russia was saying that it's pulling back troops from around Kyiv. Well, over the last week, that all collapsed. The peace talks broke down. Zelensky offered Russia a deal and Putin mocked that offer. Two peace negotiators were poisoned. A favorite Russian tactic. And Russia has ramped up its bombardment of cities and the slaughter of innocent civilians. So this war is not ending, it's escalating. As in this PJ Media article by Rick Morin, the deal to end the fighting in Ukraine is a mirage. Well, Jesus did tell his disciples that there would be wars throughout the church age, Matthew 24. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, but that is not yet the end. Yet, this involvement of Russia in the war does have some biblical prophetic significance in that the Bible speaks of the land of Magog going to war against Israel in the last days. Magog is mentioned 3 times in the Bible, once in Genesis 10, where the people of Magog are identified, then in Ezekiel 38, where there's a prophecy that the land of Magog will go to battle against Israel. And then this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 is repeated in Revelation chapter 20, showing us that this invasion is still future. So let me cut right to the chase and explain the confusion here. Prophetic teachers often speak of Russia coming down and invading Israel before, during, or at the end of the apocalypse. But if you study these texts, this invasion by Magog takes place at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, something that we will not see in a long time. This is clearly the teaching of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 verse 4, there's a resurrection. The saints come to life and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan is released. He deceives the nations, and under the leadership of Gog and Magog, the nations attack Israel. But fire falls from heaven and devours them all. And if we study the Ezekiel 38 prophecy of this battle, which is being referred to in Revelation 20, Ezekiel puts this battle at the end of time when Israel is restored, without walls, secure, living in a time of peace, and when Israel is the center of the world. It sounds very millennial, because Israel is not in that position today, nor will be in the seven-year tribulation. Now, if you're an amillennialist and you interpret the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ as happening in the church age, spiritually, then of course you could put the battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the church age. But for premillennial dispensationalists, the battle of Gog and Magog must happen at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. That's the clear teaching of Revelation chapter 20. And almost all prophetic teachers today are premillennial or dispensational premillennial, and they hold to a literal reading of Revelation chapter 20, that there's still one more age to come at the end of the church age, an age when Jesus Christ reigns on earth from Israel, and then after this will come the new heaven and the new earth. Now, I'm not going to explain all this, but that's just the literal reading of Revelation chapter 20. But it's often these premillennial prophetic teachers who will say that Russia will come down to attack Israel prior to or during the Great Tribulation. But this is not what the Bible or what premillennial eschatology teaches. What seems to be happening is that many prophetic teachers read the prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and see it as some sort of prior battle to the battle prophesied in Revelation chapter 20. Yet, that's a very poor reading of the prophecy, as we'll see in a moment. A while back, I actually got into a somewhat heated discussion with someone over this. I didn't mean for it to be. You know, this Christian just mentioned that a sign of the apocalypse is Russia attacking Israel. And as a side note, just for some clarification, I said, well, you know, that's a common misconception. But if you examine the prophecy, the only reference to Gog and Magog attacking Russia is after the millennial reign of Christ. Well, this Christian insisted and said, no, the prophecy of Magog is that Russia would attack Israel in the Great Tribulation, because apparently this is what his favorite prophetic Bible teachers taught. And I have on my shelf books by Jack Van Impe and Dwight Pentecost and Tim LaHaye and Wolverd, who all say that Russia is going to attack Israel soon in the Great Tribulation. Now, that might be, but it's certainly not mentioned in prophecy. Just like Japan's invasion of the United States and Hawaii wasn't mentioned in prophecy. So all I'm saying is that the biblical prophecy of Magog is referring to a battle that is post-millennial and nothing more. So let's look at the scriptures. First, Genesis chapter 10, the identity of Magog. Magog is listed as one of the sons of Japheth. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth was the father of the Europeans, and Magog was the father of the Scythians, the people of Russia. Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Japhan were Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Donanim. From these, the coastlands of the nations were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. Notice here that the text indicates that when God divided up the languages, he did not break up the families. Each descendant and his immediate family had a common language. Ashkenaz received the Germanic language, Magog the Russian language, Gomer the Celtic language. This is not explained in the text. So how do we know which people groups were derived from these founders? Well, this is where God expects his people to do a little bit of their own record keeping and research, like the Magi in Babylon who studied the prophecies about the arrival of Messiah. Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. And there are scholars who find references to these biblical names in ancient records. Most of this is by oral tradition, but don't discount oral tradition because it has its basis in history. Gomer is identified with the Cimmerians. Out of his sons, Ashkenaz, we have the Germans, Riphath, the Celtic people, and Torgama, the people of Asia Minor, Turkey. The other sons of Japheth, Magog, according to the first century Jewish historian Josephus, he was the father of the Scythians. Madai, the father of the Medes. Javan, the father of the Greeks. Tubal, the old Tiberians. Meshech were also people around the Black Sea. You know, the people of Georgia, the Ukrainians. It all gets quite mixed up, but, you know, providentially, Josephus identifies Magog as the Scythian people, and that's quite specific. And it is historically confirmed that the Scythians were the founders of Russia. Well, in the Bible, the next reference to these descendants of Magog is the prophecy of Ezekiel 38. Verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog in the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Notice that of the seven sons of Japheth, only the descendants of three of the sons are spoken against in Ezekiel 38, Magog, Meshech, and Tubal. And all of those sons started off settling around the Black Sea, Magog being the chief instigator. What's remarkable here is that God predicts the character and behavior of these men's descendants. Specifically, that these descendants will do something that the descendants of Gomer, Madai, Javan, and Tyrus will not do. These descendants, Magog, Tubal, and Meshach, will invade Israel in her last days. But first note that there's a chronology in these prophetic chapters in Ezekiel. In chapter 36, we read of the return of Israel back into the land and a spiritual conversion of the people. Ezekiel 36:24, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all of the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from your idols." Then in chapter 7, we read of a resurrection from the grave. Ezekiel 37:12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." Now often prophetic teachers interpret the dry bones in the grave coming to life as simply a metaphor for the nation of Israel coming back into existence. But I believe the wording here is of a literal resurrection from the grave at the end of the tribulation for the saints to live in the messianic millennial kingdom. Now in chapter 37:24, we read of a restored national Israel where these resurrected people will live. "My servant David, or rather my beloved one, will be king over them. And they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever." Well, does this sound like Israel in Jesus' day? No. Does this sound like Israel today? No. This sounds like the millennial kingdom where the Messiah himself will reside in the land of Israel. So it looks like there is a chronology in these chapters in Ezekiel. The next chapter, chapter 38, speaks about the end of the millennium and Gog and Magog attacking Israel. Gog being the king, Magog being his people. Is this some flashback to the past? before the resurrection, before the reign of the Messiah in chapter 37. Now, it seems to be following the same chronology of Israel now being in the state of peace under the rule of her Messiah. Ezekiel 38:8, after many days you will be summoned, in the latter years you will come into a land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the Mount of Israel, which has been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. You will go up, you will come like a storm, you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all of your troops, and many peoples with you. Thus saith the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates, to capture spoil and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, and who live at the center of the world. So notice the description in chapter 38. The Jews will be gathered from many nations and be restored back to Israel. Israel will be restored from the sword. Israel will live securely. Israel will be without walls. So this is not a description of Israel's current condition. Israel right now is not at peace with her neighbors, and she is surrounded by walls. You know, some prophetic teachers say that the Antichrist will make a peace treaty with Israel, and this will be the security spoken about in Ezekiel 38. But really, the security spoken of here in this prophecy is about genuine peace. And it says in the text that Israel will be the center of the world, which sounds very similar to the millennial prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14:9, the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. The Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. Verse 11, people will live in it, and there will be no more curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Verse 16, then it will come about that any who are left of all of the nations that went up against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. And Micah chapter 4, verse 1, it will come about in the last days that the mount of the Lord of hosts will be established as the chief mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people will stream into it. So, if there's any doubt as to when this happens, the New Testament book of the Revelation gives us the chronology. Revelation chapter 19, the battle of Armageddon is over. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. There's a resurrection, and the saints rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, when 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sands of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20 is describing the same conflict prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38. And it happens at the end of the millennium. And there is no prophecy of Magog attacking Israel during the first 19 chapters of the book of Revelation, during the Great Tribulation. So, I believe a lot of the speculation about Russia attacking Israel leading up to the Great Tribulation has to do with the fact that Russia has been the enemy of the West for the past 100 years. And prophetic teachers can't help but interpret prophecy through what's in their newspapers. So the tendency is to preach that the apocalypse will all be about Russia and about oil because that's our current concern. But having said that, it is true that historically, Russia has had a certain totalitarianism, a certain militaristic attitude, a certain anti-God culture. Out of all of the nations in Europe, Russia held on longest to this concept of a czar, and then that translated into a Soviet leader. Eastern Europe, Russia also rejected the Protestant Reformation, where the West was getting back to the Bible. And even though the West is becoming secular, Russia was the first nation to adopt secular humanism and spread it throughout the world. And it just so happens that Russia today sides with many totalitarian dictatorships, Islamic states, and Russia opposes Israel and Western democracies. So there's a certain spiritual character in these descendants of Magog that will culminate in the Revelation chapter 20 insurrection against the kingdom of Christ. I find that Ezekiel 38:17 is an amazing verse, that in the future, God will say to the people of Magog, probably speaking through his prophets in those days, "Are you not the ones? Aren't you doing what the prophecy said you would do?" Ezekiel 38:17, "Thus saith the Lord God, are you the ones of whom I spoke in former days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them?" So isn't it amazing that the unsaved will fall right into the fulfillment of prophecy, not realizing that the prophecy is speaking about them? So by way of conclusion, let's say you take a DNA heritage test and you discover that you're a Scythian. And you say, "Oh no, I'm a son of Magog. I am cursed with a curse. I'm doomed." Well, if you think about it, all mankind has fallen under the curse of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are dead in our trespasses and sins. All nations have departed from the knowledge of God. And the unsaved from all people groups will fall into certain prophetic events. But the whole point of salvation is to be saved from this perverse generation. Peter said this at Pentecost concerning the Jews, because they were a nation that Jesus cursed. Acts chapter 2, verse 40, "And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." So if you think that the Russians are going to do some bad things, don't forget that all of the Gentile nations are going to give their allegiance to the beast, to the Antichrist. So just like the Scythians, the sons of Magog, we need to leave our earthly family, our earthly heritage, and be adopted into Christ's family. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, son of Magog, slave men or freemen, but Christ is all and in all." We must be in Christ to be saved, not in man. The real point in this prophecy about Magog is that outside of Christ, we're lost. And we're all doomed to show that lostness and outward acts of rebellion against God, just like Gog and Magog. Every prophecy points to Christ and is an invitation to come to Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube and Rumble channel for the video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you know the end from the beginning, and you know the rebellion that will eventually come out of all those who are not in Christ. So save us, Lord, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.